ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಹರಿ ಓಂ ತತ್ಸತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಓಂ ಸದಾ ಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ವ್ಯಾಸ ಶಂಕರ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ. ಸೂತ್ರ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಓಂ ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದ ವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಓಂ ಭದ್ರಂ ಕರ್ಣೇಭಿಃ ಶೃಣುಯಾಮ ದೇವಾಃ ಭದ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಭರ್ಯಜತ್ರಾಃ ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈಃ ಸ್ತುಷ್ಟು ವಾಗಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮ ದೇವಹಿತೈಯದಾಯುಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಃ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾರ್ಕ್ಷ್ಯೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದಧಾತು. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಾಂ ಶುಪ್ರತಾನೈ ಸ್ಥಿರಚರ ನಿಕರ ವ್ಯಾಪಿ ಭರ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ಯ ಲೋಕಾನ್ ಭುಕ್ತ್ವಾ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಸ್ಥವಿಷ್ಠಾನ್ ಪುನರಪಿ ಧಿಷಣೋದ್ಭಾಸಿತಾನ್ ಕಾಮಜನ್ಯಾನ್ ಪೀತ್ವಾ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶೇಷಾನ್ ಸಪಿತಿ ಮಧುರಭುಂ ಮಾಯಯಾ ಭೋಜಯನ್ನೋ ಮಾಯಾ ಸಂಖ್ಯಾತುರೀಯಂ ಪರಮಮೃತಮಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಯತ್ತನ್ನತೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಯೋ ವಿಶ್ವಾತ್ಮ ವಿಧಿಜ ವಿಷಯಾನ್ ಪ್ರಾಶ್ಯ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಸ್ಥವಿಷ್ಠಾನ್ ಪಶ್ಚಾಚಾನ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಮತಿ ವಿಭವಾನ್ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷಾಸ್ವೇನ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನೇತಾನ್ ಪುನರಪಿ ಶನೈ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಿ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶೇಷಾನ್ ವಿಗತ ಗುಣಗಣ ಪಾತ್ವಸೋ ನಸ್ತುರಿಯಃ ತುರಿಯಃ ನಃ ಪಾತು. ಸೊ ದಿ ಎನ್ಯುಮರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಎರೋನಿಯಸ್ ಪರ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್ಸ್ erroneous views of different thinkers or the thinkers is being shown now, and we have seen few of the views already, and let us see today let us continue with where we left. Okay, 23rd karika. ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ಇತಿ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ವಿಧಃ ಪೇಜ್ ನಂಬರ್ 376. ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ಇತಿ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ವಿಧಃ ಸ್ಥೂಲ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಸ್ಥೂಲ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಮೂರ್ತ ಇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತ ವಿಧಃ ಮೂರ್ತ ಇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತ ವಿಧಃ ಅಮೂರ್ತ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಅಮೂರ್ತ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ಇತಿ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ವಿಧಃ ಇತಿ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ವಿಧಃ ಸ್ಥೂಲ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಸ್ಥೂಲ ಇತಿ ಚ ತದ್ವಿಧಃ ಮೂರ್ತ ಇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತ ವಿಧಃ மூர்த்த இதி மூர்த்த விதஹ அமூர்த்த இதி தத்விதஹ மூர்த்த இதி தத்விதஹ. ஹியர் ஆல்சோ வி ஹேவ் ஃபோர் வியூஸ். சூக்ஷ்மவாதஹ, ஸ்தூலவாதஹ, மூர்த்தவாதஹ, அமூர்த்தவாதஹ. யூ கேன் மேக் அவுட் ஈஸி. நவ் சூக்ஷ்மவாதஹ, யூ நோ, மீன்ஸ் சட்டில். People, there's a group of people who hold on to the view that very subtle thing is the reality. What very subtle thing? If you ask Paramanuhu, there is an atom, Paramanuhu, particle. So particle, no, science, you can include all of them. So particle science also. Huh? Vaiseshika, okay, little bit of nyaya, everything is mostly Vaiseshikas, okay. So, Paramanuhu is the reality for them. So, very subtle atom is the reality for them. Why? Because they say, the cause and effect, all are nothing but Paramanus. The cause is Paramanuhu, constituted of Paramanus. Effect also, the magnified effect also is nothing but Paramanus. Therefore, what Paramanus is the reality, therefore cause is real, effect also is real. Therefore, the Jagat is real. Paramanu is there. Which means, they only see what is within the realm of the objective universe only. Their search is okay, but their search is only within the realm of the objective universe. So, they searched and arrived at, okay, not these elements much before, let us go beyond these elements. Then they come to those point where Paramanus. So Paramanus are the constitutive cause and effect. Therefore, the cause and effect, everything being Paramanu, the universe constituted of Paramanus ultimately is also real. Okay, so here, how we can ask? So Paramanu is means, towards front of them. Suppose no Paramanu has no size. Okay? It is sizeless. If Paramanu is sizeless, then it is formless. Sizeless is formless. Being form must be all pervasive. Okay? But if they say no Paramanu is inexplicably tinier than the tiniest. Something they say. Tiniest also, being the tiniest is known. The knower of the tiniest is much subtler than the subtlest. That's why Mahato Mahiyan Anoraniyan. What is Atma is Anoho Aniyan. Subtler than the subtlest is Atma. Why? The bigger than the biggest. Biggest, subtlest, grossest, subtlest, tiniest, however small it is, big it is, any adjective add to anything known. The adjective, no, is descriptive of the known only. The Atma, the knower of the tiniest, subtlest, is the subtler than the subtlest. Knower of the biggest is bigger than the biggest. Therefore, Atma, who is the one who is knower of the tiniest? You are not paid attention to that knower. Your only attention is only paying to the known only. Therefore, this is how that school becomes refuted as mithya. Then sthulavadaha. What is sthulavadaha? Sthulavadaha again. Sthula means anything gross. So, the body is so important. The body is so important because you have abode of enjoyment. Without this body, what can we enjoy? Nothing can be enjoyed. So body is very important. Therefore, for them, all the gross objects are, all the gross objects which are useful and which are purposeful, they're all real. So these are the people, charvakaha. Okay, charvakas only, wherever gross things comes, we get it in charvakas. So they're also known as lokayataha, materialists. So they think all gross objects are real, including the gross body, because they all serve the purpose. Usefulness is also there. So again here the question has to be put to them. Gopala Acharya doesn't bother, but we ask the question with Anandagiri, okay? Great Anandagiri. If we say the gross body is real, gross objects are real, so does it mean that the body is inclusive of the Atma, or body is not inclusive of the Atma? If body is inclusive of the Atma, then what is Atma? The body is not inclusive of the Atma, that the body without including the Atma is real, if you say, then what is that which makes this body survive? What is that which makes this inert body function? Isn't it? Because body comes and body goes, body undergoes changes. Body subject to all sixfold modifications. All the gross objects, including the body, is subject to sixfold modifications. Asti, vardhate, asti, jayate, vardhate, apakshiyate, nashyati. These modifications. So body comes and goes. But you the knower of the body, and you do not come and go. In you, the manifestations come and go. Subtleties come and go. Bodies come and go. But you do not come. So, again here, you, what are you then? If the body is, what is that which makes the body survive? The attention is not paid there. Therefore, that sthulavada also should be refuted. Then next, because body once gets disintegrated, that's all. Same body does not come back. It will come in some other form, not the same body. Body gone will not come back. Okay. The next is the same verse we see, murtavadaha. See, murta is a participle. Murti is noun. So murtihi means a form, a symbol. Of course, in the Vedic tradition itself, of course, in Sanatana Dharma, all these various forms are used as symbols of Bhagavan, and they used, okay, they meant for worshipping only for the purpose of disciplining one's mind. Meditation is prescribed, and for the purpose of meditation, upasanam, for the purpose of worshipping, these murtis are there as symbols representing the truth, representing Ishvara. Okay? Murtis. But what happens, the obsessive commitment to the worship is fine because of discipline. If with the understanding of what these murtis are for, what this worship is for, what is the benefit of worshipping and meditation, what the limitation of it. With understanding, even if a person has obsessive commitment to the worship and the murtis, it is fine. Otherwise, the murti itself becomes the reality. Then it is this murti I'm worshipping, this is the God, this is ultimate. There is a problem. Therefore, the murti which is used for practice meditation as a discipline itself should not be taken as an end. For the discipline to prepare the mind ultimately for knowing the truth should not be mistaken as an end itself. Therefore, forms, any number of forms we can have as symbols of the truth and Bhagavan, but they should not be mistaken for the reality. This is the murtavadaha. Then amurtavadaha. Okay. You know amurtavadaha? Amurta means formless. This amurtavadaha means, reality is formless, abstract. Formless, abstract, attributeless means not available for knowledge as an object. Therefore what? Nothingness. Amurtavadaha is another name for what? Shunyam. Okay? Therefore, Shunyam is the reality. Formlessness is the reality, is formless. Therefore, unavailable for objectification through any of the pramanams. Therefore, it is non-existent. Therefore, nothingness. Therefore, this Amurtavadaha, again, is another name for Shunyavada, where reality is mistaken to be non-existence by a Shunyavadi Bauddha, a Buddhist. Therefore, now the question, what is the question we can put? If nothingness, okay, the Amurta is equal to formlessness, formlessness is equal to nothingness, therefore nothingness is the reality means, we have to say, nothingness is. Okay, nothingness is. For you to say there is nothingness, see, nothingness means nothingness must be there. You can't talk of what is not there at all. Nothingness is. Therefore, the nothingness is means the existence or isness enjoyed by nothingness, understand, is different from nothingness. Therefore, nothingness itself should not be taken as what is that which lends existence to nothingness. Nothingness is means nothingness enjoys existence. Nothingness enjoys existence means what is that which lends existence to nothingness. Therefore, there's something different, isn't it? Therefore, Shunyam is there, no doubt, but Shunyam is not the ultimate reality. Okay? Absolutely, we say what? There's no such a thing called Shunyam at all, non-existence at all. Absolutely, what is only the existence. Absolutely. Okay, therefore, this is how their view is refuted. Again, to say Shunyam is there, the observer of the Shunyam must be there to say that there is Shunyam. Therefore, Shunyam cannot be the reality. Okay, next verse. Kala iti kala vidaha. Kala iti kala vidaha. So, evidence of the Shunyam should be taken as the reality. For Shunyam to be there must be evidence. But evidence should be the reality, not the Shunyam. Okay. Kalaiti kala vidaha. Kalaviti kala vidaha. Dishaiti tadvidaha. Disha iti tadvidaha, vada iti vada vidaha, vada iti vada vidaha, bhuvanani iti tadvidaha, bhuvanani iti tadvidaha. Okay. Kala, now here again we have kala vadaha, disha vadaha, or disha vadaha, vada vada. Okay, Bhuvanavadaha. This Vadaha, Vadaha iti, there, we have to say Dhatu Vadaha. See, the Vadaha iti, Vadavidahana, there, not Vada Vadaha, we have to say Dhatu Vadaha. Okay, let us see one by one. What is Kalavidaha? Time factor. Because everything comes in time, exists in time, goes in time. And everything here, existence of everything is based on the calculate, existence is calculated based on the time only. When they come, when they go, when they exist. Therefore, astronomers and also astrologers whose predictions are based on the time, they are all very fond of time. Therefore, they all, for them, Kalaha Eva Bhagavan. Kalaha is the truth. We don't deny is time factor should be revered as Bhagavan, one of the manifestations of the truth, no doubt. Again, amazing manifestations of the truth, no doubt. But time itself is, does not become the ultimate. Isn't it? So, of course, we all know very well the length of time. Okay? Can we ever calculate the length of time? Suppose when the action happens, suppose, for example, now the teaching or cooking or one football match, any action happens, every action consists of many units of actions. Units of actions. Suppose worship means preparation from the beginning. Puja is happening today. Okay, worship is happening, starting from the beginning, isn't it? Go to the court and then prepare everything, arrange everything, lots of arrangements. So every small thing. You can also cutting vegetables and then bringing things and the less, kindling the fire. So many units of actions constitute one action. So we can't say there is a length of time. Length of time, this long the time takes. Really speaking, there is such a thing called length of time. Time, even the past, present and future we talk about, isn't it? Which period of time is real? Here time is real, reality. Which period of time? Past time, present time or future time? We have these three periods of time. Therefore, time, we can't say which period of time is reality. Actually, time is nothing but presence. Now is the time. Now is the time. It's now. Time is only now. Always now. That's why even Newton's concept of, even physics also, initially when Newton established concept of time and space as relative, it's absolute. It was later on refuted as not relative, not absolute, it is relative. Much, much long ago, even in physics, they refuted the theory of time and space being absolute. Time is not absolute, it's relative. Space also is relative. Anyway, so that is why here, Kala Vidaha, the people who accept time as the ultimate reality are said, okay, no, time is not absolute, time is relative. In fact, time has no independent existence. No way. Time also is an object of knowledge. Time, the time factor, something amazing, really speaking, but still it comes and goes. Time comes and goes. Time has time limitation. There's a time when the time is not. There's a time when the time comes. There's a time when the time goes. Which means time coming and going is known. Means time has no independent existence as an object of knowledge. The knower of time is there beyond time. Therefore, time is not the ultimate reality. The next we have Dishaha. Iti. See, Dish means direction, quarter. Dishaha, plural word. Or Dishaha. Dishaha also means directions. Dishaha also means directions. Okay? If you take the words Dish, then it's one direction. Dish. Plural is Dishaha. Disha, one direction. Dishaha, many. So, Dishaha iti tadvidaha. Dishaha, So, the mainly people who are associated with the Vastu Shastram. Of course, Vastu Shastram is a beautiful science. So, when it's a house or any construction, any building, any place, based on the position of the sun, from this place, okay, a given area of space, from the position of the sun, we can say, okay, which is east, which is west, which is north, which is south. So, which area should be used for which purpose? Then what is the benefit of it? It's all, of course, desert. Southwest is very auspicious. Southwest is very heavy. It must be, usually there may be a puja room. Southwest area of the house must be puja room, or it must be the main bedroom where the owners of the house live, who permanently live there, should live. North, southeast must be used for kitchen. Northeast also must be kept clean. Northwest, open must be in the northwest. Like this, we have this vastu. I'm only giving a few things, okay, just to make you understand. So, dishaha, these directions are, of course, and are used by people of Vastu Shastra. There's something very nice, again, it is useful for living our lives intelligently, prudently. Again, certain things, again, above all, Parabdha is there, on what this determines, however correctly we build the house also. Even to build the house correctly, we must have good Parabdha. In spite of planning so well, sometimes it may go wrong. The Parabdha is so strong, doesn't allow to have things happen also. Therefore, it's nice to follow that science, it's a beautiful, but that is not the ultimate reality. It's all simple clues given for living one's life prudently, that's all. So, Dishaha, direction should be taken as the ultimate. Dishavadaha. Then we have Vadaha iti Vadavidaha. Page number for you, 377. I didn't tell earlier. Okay. See, this is Dhatu Vadaha. You know what is Dhatu Vadaha? The Dhatus. The Dhatu Vadaha means there are many Vadas, many the Mantra Vadaha, Rasa Vadaha, like that many Dhatu Vadaha. These are some disciplines. Yeah, Pada, yeah. Pada is one word which stands for many, many Vadas. Vada, Vada, Vada. There are many Vadas. Vadaha, a Vada. Vada, Vadaha means there are many Vadas. Like Dhatu Vadaha, Rasa Vadaha, Mantra Vadaha. Okay, many Vadas. Means they are different disciplines. If we don't even get into this, okay, what are these Vadas? Suppose, say there are certain techniques using which they can convert one into another. This is science, okay? Like Rasavadaha. An ordinary base metal can be converted into gold, okay, with certain mantras, chanting along with chemistry, using some chemical knowledge. This is Rasavadaha. Like this, suppose mantras can be used. You know, Mantravadaha means what? Mantravadaha, the people, you know, okay, simply chanting mantras, like how Purvimamsakaha, using chants, using the mantra chants, we can attract wealth, we can attract people, we can even do some harm to others. Like this. So mantras are very effective, powerful. I tell you one thing, if they are not chanted correctly, there'll be some, you know, false results also, negative results also. Therefore, like this, we have certain things. They're all disciplines, they're all knowledge, different disciplines of knowledge within the realm of the material world. That should not be taken as an ultimate. Okay. That is Dhatuvadaha. See, many Vadas which come under Vada-Vadaha. Okay. And they're all different disciplines. How we can use those things to get some material benefits within this world. Oh, it helps me. This knowledge of Rasavada helps me to convert an ordinary base metal into gold. So something great. So what? You are going to be living for thousands of years. It cannot make you live forever. It's all set in some nice. It's all set enhanced understanding of what is, how it can be utilized. It's all science and technology only. Those in olden days, we used the term Dhatuvadaha, Rasavadaha, etc. Now you can say anything and everything comes under the category of science and technology. We can discover, probe into the science, probe into the material world, come to know more and more and more of things, and you make use of the things. You can enjoy the benefits. Different disciplines of knowledge. To make this mundane life more comfortable, you can use all those knowledge, science and technology. But that should not be taken as an ultimate. These disciplines will not protect you, cannot help you, cannot remove your fear of death. It's not ultimate reality. Okay. Next is Bhuvanavadaha. We have there itself Bhuvanavadaha. Ayurveda also can come there, but generally Dhatuvadaha means all different disciplines of knowledge wherein you use the medicinal knowledge, herbs, knowledge of herbs, the knowledge of mantras, knowledge of converting something into something, all these. So it is called Vada-Vadaha. Vadas mean there are so many Vadas. He just brings in all the Vadas together. We can say this Vada-Vadaha means any number of disciplines of knowledge pertaining to what is available within the material world. We can say reduced one word. And also technology. Okay. Then Bhuvanavadaha, Shastram talks about Chaturdasha Bhuvanani, 14 worlds, 6, 7 below, 7 above. So here, they leave 7 below, okay? The 7 above are different. Different lokas. So, higher lokas are different because the Shastram talks very highly of, in all the cultures, people, they talk highly, very highly of, already we have different Lokavadaha. Lokavadaha, Bhuvanavadaha, almost the same. Use the word Loka or here Bhuvanam. Other cultures, only one heaven is used. Here is 14. But lower worlds are not very attractive, interesting, isn't it? Only Papa you have to exhaust. But higher lokas. Oh, all the 14 Bhuvanani mentioned in the Shastan, they are real. They mentioned in the, of course they mentioned the Shastram. And as an individual and Ajnani, when a person is involved in activities, of course, as an Ajnani doer, as an Ajnani karta, Ajnani bhokta, when he performs karma, mithya karma attacks mithya punya papa, mithya exasha punya papa, okay, in lower worlds or in this world or a higher world, doesn't matter. Mithya punyam will be exhausted in higher loka. Mithya punyapapam will be exhausted in the human worlds. Mithya papams will be exhausted in the lower worlds. So what? One world being different from other world itself is enough to say it is mithya. All the worlds are different. So, they're all mithya. What do they talk about? Bhuvanani or satyam? Bhuvanani should not be taken absolute reality, ultimate truth. No. Okay. These are the bhuvanani are also refuted. See, in the karmakanda of the shastram, Veda, when people really do not know how beautifully the heaven is described. Suppose before I come here, somebody comes and describes, you know how this yoga center in Bahamas is. The way the person describes, I feel like coming here. Isn't it? It may happen. When a public comes and describes how Himalayas looks, I haven't been there. It's called tourism promotion. Okay. It's done by all the travel agents to sell them, to get the tickets, okay, sold. So they take responsibility, work of, popularizing the place. Otherwise, what is there for Delta Airlines to talk highly of France and then Germany? They're sitting here. They won't sell the tickets. Like that, Veda Shastram also does some tourism promotion. What beautifully describes heaven. Yeah. So, highly describes. Because we do not know, we have no clue about it. Because we have not read really Veda Shastram thoroughly. We have not understood really how Karmakanda is explained and all that. So, listening, definitely one for what have moksha and all those things. Let moksha be there for some time. Let me do this now. Let me practice this, perform this ritual. Let me practice this meditation. Let me try to travel to this Shukla Gatihi, this particular Gatihi. Let me go to this heaven. Let me enjoy those pleasures. That desire will really come. A person is not very strong in his Purushartha Nischaya. Isn't it? Then people who are aspiring for that, this is the reality. There's no greater reality than the Bhuvanani, Lokas. The Lokavadaha, Bhuvanavadaha, almost the same. Okay? Because they include all 14. They will simply say, because worlds are mentioned, therefore all these 14 worlds are real. Okay. Next one. Mana iti mano vidaha. Mana iti mano vidaha, buddhiriti cha tadvidaha, buddhiriti cha tadvidaha, chittamiti chitta vidaha, chittamiti chitta vidaha, chittamiti chitta vidaha, dharma dharma cha tadvidaha. Dharmau cha tadvidaha. Okay. Now, manavidaha means no words of the mind. This is manovadaha. Manovadaha means what? Mind is the atma. Mind is the ultimate reality. People who are not able to go beyond the mind, stop with the mind. Almost many cultures stop with this only. They can't go beyond. They don't go beyond this. Of course, even the science doesn't even come to this manaha. It's a pseudoscience. They're still only neurosystem, brain and the neurology. This is still struggling. Even the mind itself has not come to the mind also yet. But still people who think, mind is everything. Mind is the ultimate reality. And who are the people? Again, lokayataha. Materialists, people who are still materialists, they only think mind is everything. The problem is, according to them, mind has an end. When the body dies, mind also comes to an end. they do not understand continuous survival of mind after fall of the body. See, if mind dies, how nice it is. Then no purva-janma possible, isn't it? Even though mind is relative. Absolutely, there is no birth, fall. That's a different thing. But mind, the relative reality is, mind is born, mind comes assuming the body, mind goes back, mind comes, mind goes, mind comes. That is what is bondage. Mind getting stuck again and again and again in every body is bondage. It is the mind where there is manifestation of consciousness, therefore the jiva. Jiva, the manifestation of consciousness with the mind alone is said to be jiva. So you travel from body to body. So mind doesn't die. For them, death of the body is the death of the mind. Therefore what? Once body dies, mind goes. That's all finished. No more punarjanma. So this is the only opportunity you are here. Enjoy your life as you want. As you wish. That's why, you know, runam kutva ghritam pibet. Yavat jive sukham jivet. Live your life as long as you live, live happily. Enjoy pleasures. Do anything right or wrong to get your desires fulfilled. Be selfish. Okay? We are always selfish only, but you foolishly also can be selfish to fulfill your wishes. Enjoy your life pleasures. Why? This is the life. Body goes, mind goes, life comes to an end. Therefore what? Nothing wrong in doing anything. You can do anything. You to enjoy the pleasures you want to enjoy to fulfill your desires in this world. Because life comes to an end when the body dies. Why? Mind also dies along with the body. This is the view. And what they say? Because mind, now the question is, mind desires, mind, you know, entertains desires. And mind, desires are there, emotions are there. So the question is, we have to ask this question, if mind comes to an end along with the body, how is it known that there are desires in the body? How is known that the desire should be fulfilled? And how is it known what happens to the mind when it is non-functional? How are you going to account for the three states of experience? The mind undergoes changes. There's a time mind is awake, there's a time mind is off, and mind is non-functional. How can we account for blankness of mind, the dream state of mind, waking state of mind? What about three states of mind? Which means three states of mind are three states of experience, and the experience presupposes the experiencer. How can we take the mind itself as the reality? And how can you state that mind goes along with the body? End, death of the body is end of the mind. Therefore, this is not appropriate. Which means the knower of the blankness of mind, the knower of the dream set of mind, the knower of the waking set of the mind, must be there. Otherwise, how is it possible for you also to talk about your dream, talk about your deep sleep state? Isn't it? Which means you must be different from the mind for you to be able to talk about your dream and deep sleep states of mind in the waking. So, it is inappropriate to say mind is the ultimate reality. In fact, mind is operated by you. Mind is in your control. Because you are the seer of the mind. You are the experiencer of the mind. how do you say when I was awake, I dreamt? I know you may say that, which means you are not the mind. You are nowhere of the mind, you are different from the mind. Therefore, it is very basic understanding here, very, very minimal, limited understanding. Mind is not the ultimate reality. Even the mind is a wonderful instrument of knowledge, mind cannot be taken to be the reality. Okay, this is one. Then, buddhihi iti cha buddhadvidaha. Buddhihi. Buddhihi literally means knowledge. Buddhihi, we don't take it as intellect. Of course, intellect is the seat of knowledge, cognition, isn't it? So, buddhividaha means here, kshanika vijnana vadaha. Kshanika vijnana vadis are said to be buddhividaha. They take cognition as the ultimate reality. Knowledge is the ultimate reality. Which knowledge? Cognitions, hundreds of cognitions rise and resolve. What's a cognition? What's knowledge? Knowledge is the manifestation of knowledge. Every time a vritti comes, there's manifestation of knowledge. See, vritti pertaining to any object rises, then there's manifestation of consciousness. There's a cognition of a given object. So countless number of cognitions rise and go. Because cognition rises, cognition goes. Cognition rises, cognition goes. Cognition rises, cognition goes. Therefore, they call it fleeting consciousness. Is it fleeting? If imagine the mirror is brought in from time many times. Mirror is brought, mirror is taken. Mirror is brought, mirror is taken means my face is here only. But the reflections, they come and go. They do not know the source of the manifestation of knowledge. Without having arrived at the source of manifestation of knowledge, they mistake the manifested knowledge as the reality. Manifestations come and go. Therefore, they say the fleeting consciousness, okay, is the reality for them. They come very close. Okay? They not come to the source of manifestation. They stop with the manifestation itself. Got what I'm saying? So kshanika means momentary. So momentary cognitions, momentary consciousness, okay, is the reality for them. Kshanika means momentary, samji. Kshanam means like this. This the kshanika vijnana vadaha. See, vijnanam means cognition. Kshanika vijnanam is the reality, means the momentary rising, resolving cognitions are real, are the reality. They mean when they say cognitions are reality, they say they differentiate their consciousness, but they say this momentary consciousness is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. They mistake it to be the reality. Which means they do not go beyond what is the source of this momentary consciousness. They do not see that. That's why they come very close, but they stop there. Momentary consciousness, fleeting consciousness, momentary cognitions, they call buddhi, okay, is the reality. So, kshanika vijnana vadis are said to be buddhi vidaha. So, still, Russell wrong. This is buddhi vidaha. Again, Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha, the problem is, for them there's only internal world. All the world is only in the form of cognitions. There's no external world at all for them. Understand? Which means, for us, absolute reality is pure consciousness, the source of manifestation of consciousness, and which is not within the mind alone, which is all pervasive. Sthula prapancha, sukshma prapancha, karna prapancha, everything is pervaded by consciousness. In fact, all of them enjoy existence in consciousness. Therefore, so consciousness, absolute reality cannot be something which is inside. For them, the whole world of objects is only in the cognitions in the mind. There is no external world of objects. Okay? They hold on to cognitions as fleeting consciousness, kshanika vijnanam as the reality. Okay. This is buddhihiti buddhi vidaha. Then we have chitta vidaha. Chitta vidaha means chitta vadaha. Chitta vadaha. Vadaha vadaha means what? View. Okay. People who put their view. Who argue based on their view. An argument presented as the view is chitta vadaha. Here chittam. So chittam. What is chittam again here? We say thought forms of objects. Very close. Thought forms of objects constitute chittam. Many thoughts constitute mind, we say. Thought forms of objects constitute chittam. So, this chittam is the ultimate reality for these people. For these people. So, there is a small group of people known as Vaijnanikaha. Vijnanam means science. Vaijnanikaha means scientist. Those days, okay, there is another group of people known as Vaijnanikaha. It means scientists, not the modern scientists, scientists of those days, like Vaijnanikaha. They hold on to this view that chittam is the ultimate reality. Even we can include even yogis also, okay? Even some people of yoga system also, we can say, because they also think mind is the chittam, this which is constitute of thought forms of objects, is the reality, because chittam is something that we can be controlled. How? Practice yoga. Okay? Practice discipline of meditation regularly. Then you can control the mind. Control freaks. Okay? Really speaking, you can only manage the mind by living a life of dharma. You can never control your thoughts. The thoughts constitute chittam. But they think by practicing meditation, they can control the mind. What control you can do? You can just put the mind to sleep. Bhagavan makes you sleep every day effortlessly. By practicing certain discipline, you can put the mind to sleep, you can put all thoughts to sleep. How long? It will come back after some time. How, okay, you practice meditation for many decades, and one day you get this achievement of being able to put the mind to sleep while awake. So what? What happens then? Mind, that experience will not stay forever. Any experience is subject to change. People who are able to have some experiences, disciplining the mind, they think they can control the mind. Mind is the mind means chittam. The chittam is the chittam constitute of thought forms of objects is the ultimate reality. Really speaking, chittam cannot be that. Chittam is nothing. All thought forms of objects are subtle matter. All thought forms are objects which constitute chittam, nothing but subtle matter. Inert by itself. So inert subtle chittam constituted of formed the subtle matter cannot be the reality because it's insentient. Why? Because all thought forms which constitute the chittam is an object of knowledge. It is dependent on the subject of knowledge for its existence. Okay, this is one reason. Again, thoughts subject to change also. All thought modifications, very word you say, vritti parinamaha. The very word tells all thoughts are constantly subject to change. Therefore, chittam constituted of thought forms cannot be the reality. Next, we have last one. Here, dharmavadaha. Dharma dharmo. Okay. Dharma dharma vidaha. Dharma dharma vidaha. So people who take this mind as the ultimate manovidaha, then chitta vidaha, buddhi vidaha, then chitta vidaha, we have understood, dharma adharmo. People who, dharma vadaha, according to people of dharma vadaha is a given view of some people who think this discriminative understanding of dharma and adharma and following this discipline of dharma adharma is the ultimate reality. Ultimate. Very important to remember here. See, dharma adharma vivekaha. Discriminative knowledge of dharma and adharma is very important. And one must use this, implement this discriminative understanding of right and wrong in one's life. Thereby, one must definitely strictly live a life of values. One must, using this, implementing this knowledge of dharma and adharma, one must use one's will to do the right, refrain from the wrong. To prepare the mind. Okay? For one's intellectual sharpness. To convert the gross mind to subtle mind. Dharma dharma vivekaha is important. And implementing this knowledge of dharma dharma is very important. So that gradually a person can convert one's grossness of mind into subtleness. One can become intellectually sharp. It can contribute for intellectual sharpness, emotional stability. Definitely it will help one have prepared mind for jnana. But still, the discipline should be followed for the knowledge of the truth. The discipline, the means of preparing the mind itself, should not be taken as the ultimate reality. So, Bhagavan is dharma adharma vilakshanaha. The reality is free from dharma and adharma, right and wrong, good and bad. All right and wrong, good and bad, everything exists in the reality. And also the consequences of following dharma, consequence of result of the benefit of following dharma into enjoyment of pleasure is also in consciousness. The result of the consequence of not following dharma, being an adharmi, also is in experience of pain, also is in the atma. But atma is free from dharma dharma. Therefore, dharma dharma vivekaha is important. Dharma dharma vivekaha should not be taken as the ultimate goal, ultimate reality. Okay, this is dharma vidaha, so dharma vadaha. Or okay, it's a dharma adharma viveka vadaha. Okay, dharma adharma viveka vadaha. Then, we are coming to the next mantra, next karika. Panchavimshaka ityeke. Panchavimshaka ityeke shadvimsha iti chapare, shadvimsha iti chapare, ekatrimshaka ityahuhu, ekatrimshaka ityahuhu, ananta iti chapare, iti chapare, panchavimshaka ityete, panchavimshaka ityete, shadvimsha iti chapare, vimsha iti chapare, ekatrimshaka ityahuhu, ekatrimshaka ityahuhu, ananta iti chapare, ananta iti chapare. Okay. Now here, there are again four vadas, four views. Okay, there are some people who are of the view பஞ்சவிம்சகவாதஹ ஒன், ஷட்விம்சவாதஹ அதர் ஒன், ஏகத்ரிம்சகவாதஹ ஒன், தென் அனந்தவாதஹ. வாட் ஆர் தே? பஞ்சவிம்சகவாதஹ, ஷட்விம்சவாதஹ, ஏகத்ரிம்சகவாதஹ, அனந்தவாதஹ. ஹியர் தி நம்பர்ஸ் ஆர் கிவன், numbers are given here. Actually, Sankhyas, the Sankhya philosophers alone hold on to this view. Let me tell you first. Pancha Vimshaka Vadaha. Pancha Vimshatihi means 25. Pancha 5. Vimshatihi 20. Pancha Vimshatihi 25. Pancha Vimshaka Vadaha means the view of stating the 25 principles as the reality. Reality is noun singular word, but according to them 25 principles together constitute the reality, together form the reality. What is ultimate reality? 25 principles. Pancha vimshati tattvani, they say. So the Sankhyas, the philosopher Sankhya system, they only say, and that there are 25 tattvams, principles, and they are the ultimate reality. The propounder of this Sankhya system of philosophy, who state the 25 principles are the reality, Kapila Rishi. Kapila Rishi. Okay, panchavimshati tattvani. What are they? Prakritihi or pradhanam, number one. We just see the names, okay? Nice to know the names. Pradhanam or prakritihi is the first one. First principle. Then, five subtle elements. Pancha sukshma bhutani. So, 5 + 1, 6. Then, பஞ்ச ஜானேந்திரியாணி, 5 subtle powers of perception. 6 + 5, 11. Then பஞ்ச கர்மேந்திரியாணி, கர்மேந்திரியாணி, 5 subtle powers of organs of actions. So 11 + 5, 16. Then 5 objects of knowledge, பஞ்ச விஷயாக, 5 objects of knowledge perceptible through 5 sense organs. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandhaha. Sound, touch, form, taste. Okay. Taste, smell. 5 objects. So now, 21. We have more, 4, no? 4 more we need. Ahankaraha, mahat. மகத்தம் காஸ்மிக் இன்டலெக்ட், ஓகே. மகத்தம் அகங்கார, மனஹ காஸ்மிக் மைண்ட், காஸ்மிக் இன்டலெக்ட், ஓகே. மனஹ மகத்தம் அகங்கார புருஷ, டோட்டலி 25. காட் இட்? 25 இஸ் 25 ஆர் தி தத்துவானி. புருஷ தத்துவம், மனஸ்தத்துவம், மகத்தம், தேச தத்துவம், 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 ஓகே. பஞ்சவிம்சி தத்வானி, 525 principles constitute the reality for them. Anyway, so everything here is what? Material product only. Why only special? Understand, everything here is only prakriti kari. Which one? Huh? No. Purusha, no, I'm talking about, generally I'm saying, Purusha leave, that's it. But they simply talk about Purusha, that's all. But really speaking, why 25 together? 25. Everything here is material products only. I'm talking about, generally I'm saying, the whole Jagat is nothing but material only. Therefore, only they say these are Tattvani. So these alone, here how the whole can be reduced to what? Objects of perception, instruments of perception, actions of perception, the instruments of actions, then subtle elements, which become grass and elementals. So Prakriti, this is what they see. Everything can be reduced to what? One word, Prakriti. Prakriti and Purusha. Again, Prakriti and Purusha are still two. No. They must see Prakriti is not independent reality. Okay. Prakriti and all the Prakriti Karyani, subtle elements, instruments of perception, instruments of actions, all the objects of perceptions, all are Prakriti, products of Prakriti only. Reduced to one word, Prakriti. Leave the Purusha separately. Then again, Prakriti and Purusha. There again, Prakriti is dependent on Purusha. Isn't it? But how Prakriti, they say they leave this. They say these are Tattvani or the reality. Therefore, it's not correct. That is left here. Then Shadvimshaha iti cha apare. Shadvimshaha iti cha apare. Shadvimshaha, so here they left the Atma. Ishvara. So this is not good, isn't it? Another person comes. He slightly improves this. How? 25 plus 1, 26. Shadvimshakavadaha means this, the here, the people of this, again same Sankhyas, okay? Anishwaraha Sankhyaha say 25. Anishwaraha Nirishwaraha. You can say Nirishwaraha, Anishwaraha Sankhyas. Same, another group of Sankhyas, but who want to include Ishvara, they include Ishvara as a 26th principle. See, we say all the principles were reduced as one Ishvara. And the Ishvara will be reduced as ultimately Atma. But they, poor Ishvara, becomes one of the 26 principles. Okay? So, Seshwara Sankhyaha. Nirishwara or Anishwara Sankhyaha say 25. The Seshwara Sankhyaha. People accept Ishvara, include Ishvara as the one more principle, and they say there's 26 principles. Okay? Already mentioned 25 plus 1 Ishvara, 26 principles. No, if the number is brought into the picture, just say Mithya. Okay, number countability is Mithya. Something is being countable means what? Mithya. Why? The one who counts. Countability is dependent on the count person who is counting. The word Mithya. Why should stand there on the seashore and count the number of waves? When they are all Mithya. See the water, say there is no wave, no second thing, not countable. No independent existence. Okay. Then, ekatrimshaka vadaha. Ekatrim. Another person comes. Okay. Another group of people. Why only 26? Then we will add 5 more principles. And they say 31. Eka Trimshat. Eka Trimshat means 31. Eka Trimshaka Vadaha. The view of a group of people stating that 31 principles form the ultimate reality. So, What are they? What are the extra five? Raga, ragaha, passion. They leave dvesha. Okay? Dvesha is included in the raga. So, ragaha, avidya, ignorance. Then, niyatihi, order. Niyatihi, order. Kalaha, time. Include maya. What Prakriti already mentioned. Prakriti has already mentioned. So, here they include these five again. Ragaha, avidya, niyatihi, kalaha, maya. Adding these five more aspects to the already existing 26, they say 21 principles. People who talk, give any number of number, or should be simply rejected as mithya. See, they're all existent. Nobody is denying their existence. All these factors are there. But how do they enjoy the status of being the absolute reality? That is the question. Which means all these people, their searches, all their analysis is only based on what they are perceiving, experiencing in the world. All the inference is based on their experience in the world only. So purely dependent on their conclusions are based on their inference, based on their experience and perception within the realm of objective material world. Okay. So next, towards the Shankaracharya is going to say, we'll see that. Now next again, Anantavadaha. These three groups of people gave different numbers, 25, 26, 31. This Anantavadaha, Ananta means what? Endless, limitless, countless. So these people say, any number given will be what? Very small. Any number presented as these many principles constitute reality means it will be very small. So better say, there are countless number of factors. Countlessness of the objects constitute the whole. That's fact also. But still, however countless the objects are, so what? Countless number of waves, innumerable, countless, endless number of, you can't count, endless. Endless is the number of the waves, okay? Constitute the whole ocean. So they're real. So what? Where are they? Where do they exist? So these people, they see only the countlessness and the innumerability of the objects and forms. They say this innumerability, countlessness of the objects should be taken as the reality, because how can you take it? Every object is different from every other object. Every object limits every other object. Every object is limited by other object also. Reality is something which is of the nature of infinitude. How can objects which limit each other, which are limited by each other, be the reality? Okay? Therefore, mithya. Even the countlessness, nobody can deny the countlessness, limitlessness, endlessness, anantatvam. So, bhavanam anantatvam. Nobody can deny. Of course, there are endlessness of objects, limitlessness of objects, infinitude of objects, no doubt. But even though objects are innumerable, they're all mutually limiting each other. We are limited by each other also. So they are time bound. Spatially limited, objective is limited. Time bound limited. Subject to all limitations. So object subject to all three limitations. ಕಾಲ ಪರಿಚ್ಛೇದ, ದೇಶ ಪರಿಚ್ಛೇದ, ವಸ್ತು ಪರಿಚ್ಛೇದ, ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇ ಬಿ ದಿ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ? ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಡೆಫಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸತ್? ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ಲೆಸ್ಲಿ ಎಂಡ್ಲೆಸ್ಲಿ. ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದೇರ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್, ಎಂಡ್, ಚೇಂಜ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಲಿಮಿಟೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಇವನ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕೌಂಟ್ಲೆಸ್. ದಫೋರ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ. ಓಕೆ, ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ಟು ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕಾರಿಕ. ಸೊ ಅನಂತವಾದ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್. ಓಕೆ, ಲೋಕಾಲೋಕವಿದಃ ಪ್ರಾಹುಃ, ಲೋಕಾಲೋಕವಿದಃ ಪ್ರಾಹುಃ. ಆಶ್ರಮ ಇತಿ ತದ್ವಿದಃ, ಆಶ್ರಮ ಇತಿ ತದ್ವಿದಃ. ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ಪುಂಸಕಂ ಲೈಂಗಾಃ ಪರಾ ಪರಮಥಾ ಪರೇ. ಲೋಕಾಲೋಕವಿದಃ ಪ್ರಾಹುಃ. ಆಶ್ರಮ ಇತಿ ತದ್ವಿದಃ. ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ಪುಂಸಕಂ ಲೈಂಗಾಃ. ಪರಾ ಪರಮಥಾ ಪರೇ. ನೌ ಸಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಲೋಕಃ, ಮೇ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಕೇರ್ಫುಲ್. The word lokaha means the objective world. Okay, sometimes inhabitants of the worlds also are meant by the word lokaha. Lokaha can mean inhabitants of the world also. Okay, so here ಚಿತ್ತವಾದ ಸಮಯ ಚಿತ್ತ ವಿಧ ಚಿತ್ತವಾದ ಐ ಆಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ಸ್. ಓಕೆ, ನೌ ಲೋಕವಿಧ ಲೋಕಾನ್ ಸತ್ಯಮಿತಿ ವದಂತಿ. ಸಿ ಲೋಕವಿಧ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ನೋ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲೋಕ, ದ ವಿದ್ ವಿದ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್. But we take this vadaha, a view. Loka vadaha. Here is a view, another view of some people, for whom the people living in the world, the reality. Why? Here's what it means is, Swamiji, what they mean by it is, simply while living in this world, making other people happy, making other people feel satisfied. I make other person feel satisfied, if I make other person feel happy, okay, that is the ultimate. What ultimate reality here? Very nice thinking, okay? I want to make others happy is a very nice thinking. You must be happy yourself first of all to make others happy. If you are unhappy, you take care of yourself first, okay? Puji Swami used to say, you are sinking yourself, and why do you want to give hand to other person to uplift? First of all, you protect yourself, you get uplifted. You can think of helping others, isn't it? So here, the Lokavadaha is another view. This is really, so people believe that making other people happy in this world, making others feel satisfied in this world, is really the reality. Which means these people do not believe, okay, in Shastram or Ishvara. They're absolutely atheists. In fact, they have to remember this. First of all, one must know how to keep oneself in good humor. Okay? Once oneself being not happy, it's not possible to make other person happy. One thing. This is the dosh defect there. Second thing, all the people are of different minds, different storehouse of memory, different sanchita paradha karma. Every human being, every individual being has one's own paradha karma, one's own perceptions, different perception, different views, and different minds. It is impossible to make all the people happy. Impossible. If at all you try to make somebody happy, it will not last very long. By giving something what you like, by doing something what you want me to do, okay? Also, still it is not possible for one to make other person happy, because happiness is not something which you can give or others can take it also from you. Isn't it? This thinking, even though it's a very nice thinking that I should make others happy, it is not practical thing. It's impossible to make others happy. Okay? You can just do your duties, you can live a life of dharma, thereby you can contribute for others' wellness to some extent. And this doesn't become, it's a good thought, but still this doesn't become an ultimate reality. This is Lokavadaha. You can even include the some people who believe, let me live my life, I live a life of service. I want to dedicate all my life only for serving society. Why? I want to make others happy. This is a very good thinking. One must do service. See, dedicating one's life for serving society is a very good idea. But we should not take serving society, pleasing people is the ultimate goal. That should not become the ultimate. One must live a life of dharma. One must try one's best to do the best for society. Nothing wrong. That's a very good thing. But that should be taken as a means to uplift oneself. Not taken as an ultimate reality. Okay. Next is, we can say, ashrama, ashramaha, ashrama vidaha, ashramaha iti vadanti. Ashrama vadaha. People who love these ashramas, you know why? There's four ashramas are there. Ashramas and varnas are prescribed by the Shastram itself. Means ashrama dharmaha, varna dharmaha have been prescribed by the Shastram itself for an individual for individual's mental refinement. One must go through different ashramas, doing the appropriate duties pertaining to the ashramas, and doing one's duties in keeping one's varna and ashrama, so that in due course of time, one can become ultimately refined enough to have the vision of the truth, ultimate reality. So following ashrama dharmas, duties of ashrama, relevant ashrama duties, relevant varna, duties of varna, doing all these is ultimately for one's mental refinement, which culminate in the absolute mental refinement in terms of having the vision of the truth. So the ashramas themselves should not be taken as the reality. So ashramas and varnas are classifications of people based on the stages of life and based on inclinations, isn't it? This classification is of people is only purely based on the system, so that they will enable them grow effortlessly. They can go through the stages. They can become adequately refined so that they can have the, they can make this life meaningful, attain jnanam. System which has been presented by the Shastram to prepare themselves for the knowledge of the ultimate reality, the system itself should not be taken as the reality. Just a system this is. Okay, this is a system. Follow the system. All systems are meant for one's growth. Growth is for vision of the truth. But the system itself should be taken to be the truth, reality. Okay, next this is. Stripum napumsakam. Okay, next is interesting. Laingavadaha. Laingaha vadaha. See, linga is samskritam. The word linga, Shiva linga. Linga means, one meaning of the word linga is clue. A hetu, isn't it? Anything which gives you a clue to understand something. It is linga. Linga means that in which everything resolves. Liyate asminiti linga. Bhagavan, the Shiva linga, we say. One meaning is clue. Clue to infer something is a linga. The word linga also means that in which everything resolves. Linga also means gender. Stri lingaha, feminine gender. Pullingaha, masculine gender. Napusakal lingaha, neutral gender. Three genders in the Sanskritam we have. So, the grammarians think the whole jagat is nothing but objects denoted by words of three genders. They, you know, it's like seeing, you know, a physicist will look at everything as gold, no gold, energy. Metal is energy. Silver, energy. Energy. His perception will be of only energy. The grammarian will see masculine, feminine, neuter. Masculine, feminine, neuter. Why? They see the forms with the names which are of three genders. Whole jagat can be reduced to two forms denoted by words of three genders. Therefore, anything pertaining to linga is lainga. So, laingavadaha means the view in which people hold, the grammarians hold on to this, that all genders are the ultimate reality. They have their own reason, okay? See, whoever possesses his view has his own conclusion. He has his own some reason also, which can be logically refuted easily. Laingavadaha. In fact, the three genders, only number three has come. Then sometimes some words can change, the gender can be changed. They won't be of the same gender always. Okay? And some words don't have gender. In Sanskritam, we have avyayani padani, indeclinable words. Sanskritam, having gone, having come. Adverbs, some adverbs also are indeclinable words. I mean, they don't have gender. There are many indeclinable words, avyayani padani, avyay padani. They don't have genders at all. They're also part of the world, used in the world. Therefore, this is not Saul mithya. All you have been talking, forms are mithya, names are mithya, sounds are mithya, everything is mithya we have been talking. What about the genders? Where is the gender? Only in the realm of the relative world of objects, to differentiate, these very useful. Grammar is very important. Very important, differentiation of gender is very important. To live in the world. So that should not be taken as ultimate reality. All genders will resolve in what? Gender-free reality. Therefore, mithya. Now, Laingavada is also over. And paraparam atha apare. Other people, that's another group of people, other people who say paraparam. Paraparavadaha. Paraparavadaha. Who are the people? Logicians. Okay? Nayayikaha. They come very close. Why? They say there is param brahma, there is aparam brahma. Para aparavadaha. Para aparavadaha. Paraparavadaha. Nayayikaha. Logicians very strongly hold on to the view that there are two factors. One is param brahma, another factor is aparam brahma. Param brahma is nirgunam brahma, aparam brahma is sagunam brahma. Param brahma, aparam brahma. The two are there. Two are reality. Param Brahma, Aparam Brahma, both form the reality. How can it be two realities then? Not one reality. Param Brahma, Aparam Brahma together form reality. In fact, there is no such thing called Aparam Brahma. Aparam Brahma or Sagunam Brahma is nothing but Nirgunam Brahma only. Nirgunam Brahma is not Sagunam Brahma. But Sagunam Brahma is Nirgunam Brahma. Param Brahma is not Aparam Brahma. Aparam Brahma is Param Brahma only. This Sagunam Brahma is nothing but Ishvara. Ishvara means what? When you look at the same reality, distinguishing cognitively the power it has, you say what? It's endowed with the power when you say. Look at the reality as the powerful reality. It is said to be what? Sagunam Brahma. So powerful reality is Nirgunam Brahma only. Attributeless reality only. They're not two. Param Brahma is sitting, apart from Param Brahma, the Sagunam Brahma or what? Is it? Sagunam Brahma is manifested reality, with the reality with its power is Sagunam Brahma. Reality with its power manifested is Sagunam Brahma. Reality, okay, just as the reality is what? Nirgunam Brahma. They are not two. In fact, the very definition of Brahman is what? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Which means, Brahma is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. Which means, there's only one. Brahman is ekam, one only, secondless. So there cannot be two Brahmans. There's only reality which is Parambrahma, others called Rigunam Brahma, which alone is said to be Sagunam Brahma also. When we cognitively distinguish it, power and see it, it's only for the purpose of understanding Irgunam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma is discussed. Okay, this is Paraparavadaha. Then we go to last one. Srishtiriti Srishti Vidaha. Srishtiriti Srishti Vidaha. Again, one more thing, even Shastra, let me tell you one more important sentence. Even in the Shastram, Sagunam Brahma, Nirgunam Brahman alone is presented as Sagunam Brahma, showing its power being there, specifically for the purpose of practicing the discipline of meditation. Sagunam Brahma is introduced by Shastram, specifically for the purpose of practicing the discipline of meditation. Again, to help us understand this, whatever is here in this, here as the universe, is nothing but that Parambrahma only. To make understand this fact only, Sagunam Brahma is introduced. The Brahmans are, no, they're not, there are not two Brahmans, okay? Okay, 28th Karika. Srishtiriti Srishti Vidaha. Srishtiriti Srishti Vidaha. Laya iti cha tadvidaha. Laya iti cha tadvidaha. Sthitiriti Sthiti Vidaha. Sthitiriti Sthiti Vidaha. Sarve chehatu sarvada. Sarve chehatu sarvada. Srishtiriti srishti vidaha. Srishtiriti srishti vidaha. Laya iti cha lay tadvidaha. Laya iti cha tadvidaha. Sthitiriti sthiti vidaha. Sthitiriti sthiti vidaha. Laya Sarve chehatu sarvada. Tehatu charvada. So here, srishtihi means creation. Stitihi means, layaha means resolution. And sitihi means sustenance or existence. So here, actually, we have many Puranas. And the Puranas magnify the subtle teachings of the Upanishads and personify the subtle facts also there. See, there's a concept of, there's a creation. Creation is analysis of creation in the Shastra. Not to establish the creation, but to negate the creation as mithya. To arrive at the nature of the reality, creation is used, analysis of creation is presented in the Shastra. So these same teaching in the Puranas are presented, and there everything is personified. So the Srishti, there is creation. So who is Ishvara? Bhagavan is the one from whom the universe has come into existence. One who created the universe is Bhagavan. So people, okay, people only who are exposed to only to that much, and they think, okay, creation, srishtihi, is the ultimate reality. If creation ultimate reality means what? The Lord who is associated with the creation, Brahma. Brahma is the ultimate reality. Brahma, when the Lord of the creation, I mean, the creator of the universe is Brahma. Therefore, he is the ultimate reality. Because without creator, thing would have come into existence. Amazing. Srishti is something very great, and the creator, the Srashta, is the ultimate. Therefore, only this creator should deserves worship. Creator should be worshipped. Very nice. Creator should be worshipped. There is creator of the universe, no doubt. Okay? Because this creation is nothing which is manifestation. So these are, again, Puranas also use these, okay, these, all these, even the topics are there personified also. So creator is personified there as with the one with the four heads, etc. Then what happens? Only for the purpose of worshipping, only to keep oneself in association with the Ishvara, for one's own growth, for gradual progressive progress, this is all prescribed in the Puranas. But they strictly take what? Brahma is the ultimate reality. This is Srishtivadaha. Then Layavadaha. Layavadaha, the same Puranas again present this. Bhagavan, as the one in whom everything resolves, is said to be Rudraha. My God, Brahma only could create, but who is the one who can destroy everything? Rudraha. Therefore, Rudraha is more, okay, superior, much greater God. Rudra must be worshipped. Layaha is something amazing. Okay, the Rudra who causes this Layaha is the ultimate reality. Because with him, everything goes and resolves. Therefore, Rudra is the ultimate reality. This is another simple thinking. Then Sthitihi iti. No, neither Shiva, sorry, neither Rudra nor Brahma, Vishnuhu. Here, the Lord in the form of the universe, as a sustainer of the universe, is personified as Vishnu in the Puranas. Therefore, Stitivadaha, the people who hold on to a strong view, the whole Jagat exists, we are living here, enjoying this world, and exists because of the Lord Vishnu. He sustains, he protects. Therefore what? Vishnu is the most exalted of all the devatas. He is the Lord. He must be worshipped. This is another view. Okay. Stitivadaha. So Srashta is the reality. Samharta is the reality. Now we can say what? Dhata is the, we can say, Rakshakaha is the reality. Protector of the universe is the reality. So these three concepts, actually only Ishvara. What are these three names? Rudraha, Brahma, or Vishnu are three different functional names of only Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara. From the standpoints of three states of experience and three states of experience at the gross universe, experience of the gross universe, experience of the subtle universe, and the unmanifested universe. It's only Ishvara. That only Ishvara also another than absolute formless reality essentially. Therefore, holding on to these concepts and then taking these personifications as the reality is also not right conclusions. Therefore, Stitivadaha, Srishtivadaha, Layavadaha, all these vadas ought to be refuted as mithya, as false conclusions. even though relatively, for the sake of understanding, creation, sustenance, resolution are discussed, absolutely, there's no creation, there's no resolution, there's no sustenance also. Absolutely. What was, is. What is going to be forever. In between, the forms and functions keep on changing. That is the nature of the matter. That is the inexplicable nature of the Maya. That is the wonder caused by Maya. That's all. Okay. Now, sorry, yesterday I mentioned 36, no? There are only 35 views. There are only 35 views, not 36. Now, we have seen 35 views now. Okay? All these views, we are going to see beautiful Shankaracharya's commentary. I really want to do this today. Sarvecha ihatu sarvada. The one more, that's the last word. Srishtihi iti srishtividaha, layaha iti cha tadvidaha, stithihi iti cha stithividaha. Three views are presented here. Lastly, sarvecha iha to sarvada. All are here always. This is a little translation of the sentence. All are here always means what? Sarve, all, cha, and iha here, sarvada, always. What does it mean? All these views, all these concepts, all these are, okay, superimposed upon the Atma. All these are just projections. See, all these wrong conclusions also are projections of Atma only. Projections of Atma superimposed upon the Atma. Understand? See, the way the what, appearance of the what itself is what? Projected upon the, superimposed upon the what, isn't it? All these views, erroneous conclusions, wrong views, also are projections of Atma, superimposed upon the Atma. That is the explanation of this sentence, sarvecha ihatu sarvada. All are here, always means, all that are here, all these views and conclusions are projections of the Atma, superimposed upon the Atma. So wrong conclusion is also projection of the Atma. Right conclusion also projection of the Atma. Because no conclusion can be there. Right and wrong, all conclusions are mithya finally. That's a different thing. Okay, this that because of which any conclusion is possible, that reality is satyam. Understand? That is why we got very, very subtle. Right and wrong, good and bad. Everything is mithya. All projections of the Atma. Superimposed upon the Atma. Is the literal translation of the Man Karika. Now, let us see Shankaracharya's commentary here. Until now, he kept quiet. Okay? He waited for Gaudapadacharya to finish his enumeration of these different views. Now he wants to say. Okay, he writes commentary for all, okay, on all the verses together. He gives his vision. Shankara Bhagavatpada presents his vision of the understanding of the heart of Gaudapada Acharya. Pranaha, the word pranaha, see page number 378. Okay, 378. Pranaha. The word prana is not, where is the pranaha? It comes in the 20th karika. If you go back to 20th karika, you can say the word pranaha. pranaha. The word pranaha means what? Hiranyagarbha. Antaryameshwara. Pranaha means antaryam. Ishwara, otherwise said to be pranaha. Okay? And pranaha, who is pranaha? Prajnaha. Prajnaha means what? Antaryameshwara. Antaryameshwara means what? Karanatma, Bijatma. So, Antaryameshwara, the Karaneshwara, the Atma endowed with the power Maya Shakti, looked upon as Karaneshwara, okay, meant by the word Prana. That came in the 20th verse. So, from the word Prana, from the 20th Karika, having this word Prana, meaning Antaryameshwara, Antaryameshwara or Karanatma, Bijatma, until then, that word. Tatkarya Bedaha hi itare stityantaha. He says what? Stityantaha. Now, what's the last word you saw? Stitihi. Remember Stitihi? Now, all these views, itare, all these other different views presented in all these 8 karikas, 9 karikas, isn't it? 20th karika onwards, until 28th karika, all these views which are presented, all of them are karya bedaha. Okay, varieties of effects, products of Antaryameshwara only. Which Antaryameshwara? Antaryameshwara who was mentioned as Prana in the 20th Karika. Ishwara alone is in the form of even these erroneous views. Okay. So all the objects, all the countless number of forms, names and functions which constitute the whole jagat, apart from that, even where are these views? These views also part of the jagat only. So itare stityantaha, all these various views presented, okay, up to this stitivadaha, all these different vadas up to stitivadaha present in all these karikas are nothing but products of projections, okay, varieties of projections of products of Antaryameshwara only. Chantaryameshwara, Antaryameshwara who was presented Karanatma, present, mentioned as Prana in the 20th Karika. Okay. Pranaha, Prajnaha, Bijatma, Tatkarya Bedaha. Means, Tasya, Bijatmanaha, Prajnasya, Antaryam, okay. Antaryameshwarasya eva karya bedaha, all projections, countless number of, okay, all projections, products of that bijatma only. So, Ishwara only is in the form of these views also, vedas. Now, anyecha, so what? Mithya. Whatever they think of their views, right view or wrong view. Okay, all views are mithya because they're products of Ishwara. Karanatma only is in the form of karya views also. Anyecha sarve laukikaha. சர்வ பிராணி பரிகல்பிதாக பேதாக. Now he says, beautiful. And anye sarve laukikaha bedaha. Laukikaha bedaha means all, see how many ever assumptions we have. We assume, no, this must be like this, this must be like this, that must be like this. See, all these views, which are like our assumptions, what I assume of something. So he says, anyecha sarve laukikaha bedaha. Even other worldly assumptions also. Sarva prane parikalpitaha. Other worldly assumptions also. Projected by all beings. All human beings. All assumptions. All worldly assumptions projected by all human beings also vikalpaha, superimpositions only upon the Atma, like snake, etc. Okay, superimposed upon the robe. How stick of water or snake, a stick, etc., superimposed upon the rope. So, all these, not only the views of the reality, erroneous, incorrect views of the reality, and even the assumptions, worldly assumptions, projected by all the people also, all of them are nothing but superimpositions upon the Atma. Projections of Atma, superimposed upon the Atma, like the rope, snake, etc. upon the rope. So what? They're all mithya. Superimposed upon what? Atmani. Okay. So all these worldly assumptions of projected by the people, wrong conclusions of people, all of them are superimposed upon whom? Atmani, upon the Atma. Which Atma? Atma which is shun, tachunye Atmani. Tachunye Atma means upon the Atma which is actually free from all these superimpositions. Tachunye Atmani kalpitaha. Okay, they have been projected, superimposed upon the Atma, which is actually free from all those vikalpas, superimpositions. Very nice. But why? What's the reason? Please give me 1 minute, okay? Atma swarupa anischaya hetoho avidyaya. The sentence ends there. That's why I'm stopping here, okay? I tell you, Atma Swarupa Anischaya Hetoho Avidyaya. Why these worldly assumptions projected by all the people, their erroneous views of the reality, all of them are projections, are superimposed upon the Atma which is free from those. Okay. Why? Because avidyaya, because of ignorance. And what is ignorance here? Atma swarupa anischaya hetoho. The reason, hetu, the reason for the superimposition is Atma swarupa anischayaha. Non-ascertainment of the real nature of the Atma. Non-ascertainment of the real nature of the Atma. Atma swarupa anischayaha. Anischayaha means non-ascertainment. Non-ascertainment of the real nature of the Atma is the reason which is ignorance, because of which all these are superimposed upon the Atma, which is actually free from these. This is, okay, kalpitaha iti anyecha sarve laukikaha sarva prani parikalpitaha bhedaha rajvamiva sarpadeha tachunya atmani atma swarupa anischayahetoho avidya kalpitaha iti pindi krutaha arthaha. He says, come on, this is the extracted meaning of all these verses. Pindi krutaha means extracted. What is that you extract? What is the lesson teacher extract from all this? Amazing. Beautiful, isn't it? Pindi krutaha. See, pindi karana means actually making balls. Passover balls. How you pindi karana? Actually, even making a ball is pindi karana. Okay, pinda means a ball. See, forming a heap is a pindikaranam. And then you grind something. Take it in your hand. You have a ball of ground leaves. Squeeze it. Get the essence. Pindikrita means extracted also. The word pindikrita has so many meanings. Okay, pindikrita means extracted. Extracted essence is teaching is, this is the teaching. Don't worry. Right conclusions, wrong conclusions of all the people, wrong views, all are projections of the Atma superimposed upon the Atma. Even not only the spiritual views are the spiritual views, okay? Even the worldly assumptions of all the people also are projections of Atma superimposed upon the Atma. All are mithya. Atma alone is satyam. So what? This is the extracted teaching from this lesson. Iti pindikritaha arthaha. This is the extracted meaning of this whole lesson. Okay, we'll stop here. He himself is going to say, commenting upon these, we're going to come back and see the Sanskrit words. Commenting upon these verses does not serve any great purpose, is not worthwhile. So I do not comment upon them, he says. Again, verse are very simple. As you read, you understand the meanings also. It's not necessary to comment upon them. So he gives the reason for not writing commentary upon those verses, which we'll see tomorrow. Okay? Apart today, at least I wanted to finish this much, we could cover. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsate Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.